Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
St. Mary's Healthcare Program takes up the subject of radiology today. We're joined by a radiologist, Dr. Angelique Olsalfka. Good morning, doctor. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And how are you?
Okay. Wendy Lucas is here. She is Women's Imaging Supervisor at St. Mary's. How you doing, Wendy?
I'm great, too.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask Dr. Olsalfka. I asked you just a few minutes ago. You're a radiologist, which means that you're which means what?
Well, so I went to medical school. And, you know, did my 4 years of medical school. And then after that, I did internship. And then after that, I did radiology specialty training.
Mm-hmm. So your primary role is what at a hospital or a radiologist role?
So mostly we read studies. So I read x-rays, I read CAT scans, MRIs, mammograms, ultrasounds. I perform some biopsies, ultrasound-guided biopsies, CT-guided biopsies.
Mm-hmm. So you have to have sharp eyes, I would guess.
I would say yes.
Yeah. And it's probably kind of it's sort of intense looking at these things?
No, it's very intense. It's a very stressful day. You know, we sit in our little dark rooms all day long reading our studies, but, you know, our studies have got our 100% attention, and it's a tough day every day.
Because what you find, you know, sort of determines what they do next, right?
Right. No, definitely. We definitely see ourselves as a partner in the patient's healthcare. We provide helpful information for providers, referring providers, to make decisions on what further treatments patients need.
Mm-hmm. Now, Wendy Lucas, you're manager of women's imaging, which includes mammography.
Yes.
Okay. What is mammography?
Mammography is study of the breast tissue. So we take pictures of the breast tissue, the soft tissue, to determine if there's anything going on there.
It's not the favorite thing for women to have.
Oh, they love it. They're lined up at the door to come in.
I see. All right. But, it's always in the news, too. I mean, there was some study about doing it or not having it done and so on, wasn't there, or am I thinking of something else?
Yeah, there's the recommendations have gone back and forth with what they recommend, but right now Dr. Olsalfka is going to talk about the recommendations. They've come back around.
Okay.
Right. Bob, what you were referencing, back in 2009, there was a group of primary care providers and researchers who they were under the task or under the heading of the United States Task Services. And what they recommended is that women not start getting their mammograms until the age of 50. And then at that point, mammogram somewhere between every year to every 2 years, and then stop at 74 years of age. Well, that was pretty controversial, because before we'd always been taught women should start getting their mammograms at age 40. So there was huge back roar. And the American Cancer Society, American College of Radiology, and multiple other sites then came back and made their recommendations that as of today, we should be starting mammograms at age 40 on every woman that has an average risk or no risk, no elevated risk in comparison with the rest of the population. And they should be getting that every year. And then there's no stop date. The other group I mentioned said at the age of 74, you stop. But the American Cancer Society and American College of Radiology both state that you continue to get the mammograms until, you know, as long as the patient is in good health.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this controversy, and not just involving mammograms, seems to me I saw something recently in the news about dental x-rays.
Right, exactly. That's a little bit outside of my realm, but basically the gist is they have found that patients who are getting dental x-rays more than, I guess the recommendation is you should be getting them every 2 to 3 years. But patients who were getting them more frequently, that being every year, that there is an association with a benign brain tumor called meningioma. Now, they're not saying it's a cause-effect. They're just saying that there's an association there. So the American Dental Association basically put out a statement saying that, you know, you gotta use some prudence when you're doing these x-rays on patients. There are some dental diseases that you can only really evaluate by x-ray, and by all means, if you need to do that, you need to do that. But otherwise, just for these screening studies, they should be more every 2 to 3 years, and, you know, make sure that the patient's got the appropriate protective covering and jacket and mm-hmm. what have you before they get the study done.
as with so many diagnostic tools in medicine, there's risk involved, obviously, with and we're talking x-rays, or we're talking the use of radiation.
Exactly.
And the fear is that it'll cause some kind of cancer.
Right, exactly. But, you know, if you actually look at the numbers, natural background radiation, every single day, you know, just waking up and walking on this earth, you're exposed to radiation. Most of that comes from, you know, the soil and rocks and cosmic x-rays and, you know, when you're traveling across country. So your natural background radiation is, we have a measurement, it's 3 millisieverts per year. And that's what everybody is exposed to every year. So, for example, a mammogram has got such negligible radiation dose that it's equivalent to the amount of radiation that you would get 2 months of just walking on this earth. So the radiation that you're subjected to for a mammogram is insignificant. It's small, particularly when you take into consideration the benefit, you know, of detecting these early cancers, mm-hmm. and, you know, saving lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, you haven't seen me there getting a mammogram, right, Wendy?
No.
No, but I have had a lot of x-rays, it seems to me, of other things. Although men can have, or did they? The men have these at all ever, or no?
Yes, we surprisingly do a fair amount of men, mammography on men, and men are at risk of breast cancer as well. Same guidelines as women as far as family history and all that. Less than 1% of men get breast cancer, but unfortunately when men get it, it goes undetected usually, mm-hmm. until it's a little larger.
Yep.
Annually, about 450 men die of breast cancer.
But it seems to me, you know, my teeth are always being x-rayed and my arms and legs, you know, I have some muscle issues. And maybe I'm going back to the doctor here. And you know, it's a typical sort of consumer reaction. When I have any of these x-rays, the last one was in the dental chair, they all skedaddle and they put some sort of lead thing on me. And
right.
Makes you wonder, what the heck are they doing?
Well, you know, if you think about it, let's take the average person. Let's say you're talking about getting your dental exam. And let's say you get a chest x-ray and or, you know, an ultrasound, and those are your three studies for the year. Those are your three studies. Whereas for us, we may see, like, I don't know, how many mammo patients do you see a day?
We do about 40 to 50 patients. So if I were in the room with every single patient, I'd be getting 40 to 50 x-rays a day.
Per day, exactly. You know, multiplied by six. And then, so you can understand that our exposure, our potential exposure is much greater than that for a patient, which is why we skedaddle whenever... You know, whenever we're getting ready to do those images.
Well, as my mother used to say, I can't blame you.
Right.
For doing that. Are there other imaging techniques? So maybe I'll ask Wendy. Wendy Lucas is women's imaging manager. We talk about mammograms. Do you have other other things for women?
Yes, we do bone density testing. And actually, May is Osteoporosis Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. So they recommend probably screening for bone density probably around age 50.
And that's an x-ray, or that's a...
It's a very low-dose x-ray. We're just looking to see the density of the bone to see if it's thinning. And
the particular reason why that's important is it determines your risk factor for developing fractures. You know, particularly hip fractures, which is, you know, in itself a disabling injury. But, you know, studies have shown that once a woman has had a hip fracture, her likelihood of dying within the next, like, 5 to 10 years are pretty significant because of all the other comorbidities associated with that. You're not up mobile moving around when you've got a hip fracture. You can, you know, develop a pulmonary embolism. You get pneumonia. So it's all the other things in addition to the, you know, the hip fracture that we're trying to, you know, pick up early.
Mm-hmm. And, all right, so in addition to women, I mean, there are other things that are done to men and women, and I guess what I'm trying to stumble around to ask about is, what kind of tools do you have? You got the x-ray, you've got, I mean, you folks, I mean, radiology includes the CAT scan?
Right, exactly. And, you know, actually, we don't, CAT scan now is, I guess, more of a layman's term. We just say CT scan.
Okay.
But, yeah, we have CT scans, we have MRIs, we have ultrasound. So we've got a whole bag of tricks in our pocket.
What are they? I mean, what's a CT scan?
So a CT scan, basically what we're doing is we're taking little slices. Well, we take a big picture, and the picture has got little slices just like a book. So if you look at a book on the outside, you'd see just the front cover, you know, in the back. But then when you open up the book and you see all of those little individual pages inside, that's what the CT scan does, is it gives us a look at the little pages inside. Mm-hmm. MRI also does that.
And, but what is the technique? Is the CT scan an X-ray? Are you sending the radiation through here?
Exactly, yeah. They all radiation.
Do that?
Right. The only thing that we don't have radiation associated with is ultrasound.
Okay, so what is an ultrasound?
Ultrasound, basically, again, is we're sending ultrasonic waves. We have a little transducer that we put on a patient. The waves go through the patient, and then they're reflected back to the transducer and gives us an idea of the anatomy. You know, that you can take a look at someone's liver, you know, take a look at their breasts, look for masses there. And I'm actually glad that you brought up ultrasound, because ultrasound, you know, it's something that's very important for women's imaging, mm-hmm. as well, for breast, you know, evaluating for nodules and cysts and what have you. But the important thing to keep in mind with ultrasound is it's an adjunct, not a substitute for mammogram. Mammogram is the most sensitive study that we have for evaluating for breast disease. Mm-hmm. But there are some women that, you know, perhaps let's say they have very dense breasts. And when I say dense, I mean lots of just like, not, you know, breast is fat tissue and it's also glandular tissue. So some women have much more glandular tissue than others. And there are studies out there saying that ultrasound as an adjunct to evaluate these women with dense tissues can be very mm-hmm. helpful.
And they use ultrasound a lot, don't they, or
we
don't
do,
you,
we do.
For babies?
We do. For, yeah. You know, our OB ultrasounds, we do like tons of them every single day.
Because it's no radiation.
Right.
So that's why that's the
And you got the little baby
choice.
In there.
Yes.
Right.
So, okay.
Right.
We're talking about the radiation department, or radiology department, I'm sorry, at St. Mary's Healthcare. We're joined by Dr. Angelique Kozalska. She's a radiologist, a physician whose specialty is this field. Also with us is Wendy Lucas, Women's Imaging Supervisor. We're going to take the shortest break possible. Our number is 684-0123. If you have a question for the doctor, question for Wendy, give us a call, 684-0123.
The new Light 104.7 and 1570 AM, WVTL.
Told you it was quick. We're back with Dr. Angelique Kozalska, radiologist, and Wendy Lucas, Women's Imaging Supervisor. Okay, we talked about, I'm trying to keep this straight in my head. Glad I'm not taking the medical board stuff, you know, or something like that. But all right, so you got your regular, but you still have regular X-rays, something
right.
you call an X-ray, don't
right.
you?
Right, yeah, things like chest X-rays. So you come in and you've stubbed your toe, we'll do an X-ray of your foot, mm. you know, look to see if you've got a fracture.
And you got the CT scan, you said it's like going through the pages of a book, getting
right.
kind of the layers of the body.
Exactly.
And that's an X-ray too, but
right.
it's a special
again. Right.
And then the ultrasound's not an X-ray, but it, you're sending sonic
waves. Right.
But what's, I thought an MRI wasn't an X-ray, but it is?
Well, you know, it's a type of X-ray. So again, basically, and it's very similar to the CT scan, where we're going in and we're getting different slices and, you know, looking at the individual slices of the body. And you can do it, you know, from nose to toes. You mm-hmm. can do it from front to back or from side to side. So really very helpful in getting a look at the anatomy.
Mm. But it's that stands for magnetic
resonance imaging, right?
Resonance imaging.
Right. So they're all, again, just it's a form of an X-ray. You know, not, you know, I don't want to get too technical as far as the details, but essentially it's a form of an X-ray.
Mm. So is it, can you say which one is better? I mean, they all have their uses.
You know what? Every single one has their uses. Let's say if you're looking for just a quick, you know, does this person have a fracture or not? Then, you know, the X-ray is good for that. Let's say that you're looking at someone's liver and you want to find out if there's a mass or not. You could do either ultrasound or CT or, you know, MRI. It's always better to start with the least, you know, least expensive modality first. MRIs are much more expensive, take longer, you know, frequently, you know, require contrast. So, you know, if you can figure it out with an ultrasound, that's the best study. But sometimes ultrasound isn't going to give you the complete answer you need. So at that point, you need to bump it up a level to either CT or MRI.
Speaking of controversies or things or news reports about these tests and others, mm-hmm. Can these tests be overprescribed? In other words, doctors are afraid of getting sued, or they figure, well, just, well, I hate to say it, I'll just shut them up, you know, give them an MRI or whatever.
Well, certainly, too. I mean, I think that, you know, every primary care provider, when they're seeing a patient, they have to, you know, read the patient and you know, is this required? Can I make this diagnosis without imaging? Sometimes you can't. And when you can't, I think that definitely moving on to some sort of radiology study is the appropriate move.
Mm-hmm. But these pieces of equipment, they're kind of expensive,
they
right?
They are, yes, yeah. Indeed.
Now, St. Mary's is a, I forget what you exactly call it, you know, in terms of the healthcare levels. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's like a major hospital, right? So
yeah.
You have a lot of this stuff.
We do. We can, St. Mary's has got it all. You know, we can take good care of our patients. We've got, you know, x-rays. We've got, you know, CT, ultrasound, MRI. We do procedures. You know, we have our mammo department that's running mm-hmm. 6 days a week.
Yep. We do mammography. We do diagnostics, which is a little more in-depth mammogram. If a person's having a problem, if problematic patients, we do biopsies, breast biopsies under mammo or ultrasound, and then the bone density test. So we do a lot of that type of work.
Mm.
And we're really very proud of the work that we provide. I think mm-hmm. that St. Mary's is a fantastic hospital.
And if, and maybe you do as well, what I'm trying to drive at now, is that this is all digitized now,
it
is it not? So, for example, I was talking to other folks from St. Mary's. I don't know what kind of these diagnostics you might use for the heart, but a lot of times you're shipping your heart patients down to Ellis Hospital. The Ellis doctors can see this stuff before you get there.
It's amazing, yeah. We can, frequently what we'll do is we put on a desk, a CD or a DVD, and, you know, give it to the patient that they can take home or, you know, take a copy for themselves to their provider. But, you know, it very much has changed. We used to have the films that we'd stick up there and, you know, films would get lost. And, you know, after a while, the films start to decay and get a little stinky. But now, you know, we have to worry about that anymore. We've got the disc. We, you know, I sit at a computer and read the studies that way. And same thing with our digital mammography, all of that, you know, it's all on a disc. So when a patient moves, she can get a copy of that and take that to her next facility.
And you are correct. With Ellis, we do have a network, so we can send the images right across the network to Ellis, and the patient they'll look at them before the patient gets there, or they can do a consult on the patient for us with mammography. We can transmit the images for the doctor to look at, so they don't have to actually be right with us. If I have a question about a patient, I'll just call the doctor or IM her, and she'll take a look at it on the spot. So everything's more instant right now because of digital technology.
And you hear that, for example, you've got a kind of a problem case here, and there's some expert on this field out in Pasadena. That person can look at it somehow? Did that happen, or
well,
am I dreaming about that?
You have to have a network set up. We have... some of our MRI studies are sent out to California to a specialist out there. So it has to be preset. You can't just take these images and send them anywhere. But a lot of times if you get the network set up, and then a specialist can look at your images. Now with digital, it's just instant.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Osofka, how does this work in terms of staffing? I mean, is there always a radiologist there?
We have staffing for the hospital 24/7.
Really?
Yeah, so there's someone on board approximately 7:30 to 5:30 each day. And then after that, because everything is digital, you know, we're all accessible and can come in, you know, need be. But frequently we're reading it from an outside facility, perhaps at home or, you know, another facility. And we just sit there with our computers, and the studies are sent to us, and we read them and interpret them real time.
Mm. And I know this is a big question, but what are you looking for?
Well, you know, I mean, it just depends. I mean, like, let's say if someone's got a pneumonia, they're coughing, I'm looking at their chest x-ray and looking to see if part of their lung is whited out. Let's say if someone has got, you know, right lower quadrant pain or pain in the right part of their belly down low, the thing I'm thinking about is, does this patient have appendicitis? So that's a good study for CT. So I'm looking on that CT to see if the appendix is too big, to see if it's distended, to see if there's water or fluid sitting around it, look to see if it looks infected. Those are the sorts of things I'm looking for.
Mm. And I don't know how long you've been practicing, but, I mean, has the level of the readings, has that improved over the years?
Yeah, definitely. I think that as technology improves, our interpretations have improved. It's just, I mean, I started training. I trained in the military, in the Navy, and we started off, first off, just with the hard copy films. We didn't have digital. So, you know, getting comparison films was pretty significant. It was difficult. Now we've got that. We can get, you know, lots of slices, lots of thin slices with the CT that we just never even, you know, had the ability to do back when I first started. So, you know, that turnaround has given us some, the ability to give some pretty great results, I think.
The one, oops.
Go ahead, Wendy.
The one thing with digital, all digital modalities, and especially speaking about the breast, you can darken or lighten it on your screen, just like a digital camera. So if you need to see soft tissue on the outer part of the breast, the radiologist has the ability to lighten it or darken the image. If you have denser tissue in the middle, she can lighten it or darken it to look at that area better. So versus the old screen, just film screen, you had what it is, what it was, what it was. You could not manipulate the image. Now you can invert it. So that, yes, readings are definitely by far more definitive.
And as a result, I think just from what Wendy was talking about, we were able to decrease the number of images that patients need because, like she said, let's say someone got an x-ray of their foot, and let's say it was too dark. Well, there was only so much we could do with that. We'd have to bring the patient back and re-image them. But now I have the ability to manipulate those images digitally to make them a little bit lighter and see what I need to look at.
But I do know you can't move.
Yeah, you can't move. You got to stay still. Right. That's right.
Because, you know, I've had some x-rays, like in the middle part of my body or whatever they were.
Right.
And the person kept doing them over and over.
Right.
Because, you know,
it makes the images blurry when someone's
moving. Yeah, you can't fix that.
Right. Yeah, you cannot fix that. You're right.
And the other thing is, it just seems to me there are so many images. That must be tough, you know, in terms of not making, I hate to say it, not making mistakes.
Yeah,
right?
It is tough. But, you know, you get your routine set up for how you want to look at the study, and you got to follow it. And, you know, I think that, as with anything, sometimes when you're in a rush, it's always, you know, in your mind, it would be easy just to flick through them. But when you realize that it's people's lives mm-hmm. that you're dealing with, you know, that's your reality check. Mm-hmm. And that's when you realize you got to slow down, because, you know, you may think it's a small miss, but that miss could be pretty significant. So I think that all radiologists, when they come to the table, they have to realize that, you know, even though I don't see the patient, I just see their films, this is a person, and you got to take your time, and that's what we do.
But it seems to me that one of the primary problems that could develop would be the wrong films for the wrong people, or the wrong images, wrong people. Is that, I mean,
you know,
it seems that you get, again, as a healthcare consumer, you know, they're always asking me, you know, let's say the last time, I forget what it was. Well, I know, I was having a hernia. Mm-hmm. Which side was it on? Well, you know,
right.
A million people ask me which side it was on.
Exactly, you know, and that's something I think that is so important. I mean, I know that before every procedure that we do, just like you said, we come in and, you know, patients look at us crazy. What are you asking me your name? I know my name. You should know my name.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, it's a part of something called a timeout. We ask your name. We ask your birth date. We ask the procedure, just to make sure everybody is in the same, you know, page as far as what's going to be done and what side. So doing those timeouts and things like that, they're important. They're also mandated by Joint Commission, which evaluates every hospital. So you got to do that, and that certainly helps to decrease any sort of, you know, wrong patient.
And since Wendy is here, we're getting close to the bottom of the hour, and perhaps we'll say goodbye to our guest then. Wendy Lucas, do you have... you're always there. It's not like you have a clinic for mammography or special times or.
We're there 6 days a week: Monday 7 to 6, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday 7 to 5, Friday 7 to 4, and Saturday 7 to 12.
But it's mammography specifically. I mean, it's like these other things. It's a test authorized by a physician.
Yeah, you do need orders. You need orders from your doctor. It's a well mammography for the most part. It's a well checkup. So it's not something that you get sick and go in for unless it's changed to a diagnostic.
And Dr. O, which I understand is what they call you.
That's right.
Right. Do you have any advice for the folks before we were to wrap up?
Continue to do your monthly breast exams and continue to eat well, exercise, and know that we're here to take care of your women's health images or issues.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day. St. Mary's Healthcare Program, Dr. Angelique Ozalfka, of radiologist at St. Mary's Healthcare, and Wendy Lucas, who's Women's Imaging Supervisor.